But as to what's going to happen next, like I said, on the website, in the prophecy section, there is a page called the Prophetic Timeline. And I'll give you a quick rundown as to what is going to happen next. Major events, okay? Now, we do know, for example, some of the things that already happened, because they happened. We got them right there, you know. Let me just backtrack a little bit. Let me go back to the year. We all know about the 1,260-year prophecy and all those things that went down during that time. We know about the great disappointment of Revelation 10 that happened in 1844. The Immaculate Conception theory of the Roman Catholic Church that Daniel speaks of in Daniel chapter 7 or Daniel 11 started in 1854. The Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1863 on May 21st starts. And so this is more or less how, you know, for the 20 years from the 1843 forward, how things just started forming all over the place. Let's see. I believe the latter rain started falling, according to Zechariah chapter 10, in 1888, when A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagoner began to preach righteousness by faith. And, of course, the Seventh-day Adventist Church rejected it, which started their downward slope. Then you get the Blair Amendment of the National Sunday Laws in 1898, which was prophesied, You got Seventh-day Adventist Church reorganizes and steps off the platform of truth in 1903 to 1905. Schofield's Reference Bible. Okay, now we're starting to get a little closer to, in modern day, of course, 1909, but Schofield's Reference Bible. Oh, yeah, it is still falling, Lanky Legs. I know that. It's going to start falling more abundantly soon, though. The latter rain has been falling, yeah. Schofield's Reference Bible with Jesuit Ribera's futuristic view of Antichrist is included in there. See, before 1909, nobody in the United States of America ever believed or even heard of this futuristic view of Antichrist or a seven-year trib, okay, or a three-and-a-half-year trib, okay? It was all generated generically. All right. In 1917, Our Lady of Fatima, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, ignores 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and then you start getting the demonic apparitions. 1918, the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Conference qualifies the spirit of prophecy and declares that Ellen White is not a prophet. That happened in 1918. The Seventh-day Adventist Church said she was not a prophet, even though she is. They start planting churches unbiblically the way they're doing it, and then they started going downhill from that point forward. 1929, Revelation 13:3, the mortal wound is healed when the Lateran Treaty is signed by Gasparri and Mussolini in the Vatican. It becomes a church and state once again. Let me just jerk forward a little bit more here. 1962, you got Vatican II. Daniel 11, verse 40, communism falls, 1989. That's when Pope and Reagan worked together to topple communism. The celebration movement starts in 1990. The Pope opens the door of the Jubilee in the year 2000. Like apostles, the Christians will be in one accord to begin the present work for Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. And when is that going to happen? We don't know, because some of the Christians are still butting heads, but some Christians aren't butting heads. They are coming together. Then, of course, on September 11th, the Twin Towers fell, and that is, you can find it in Testimonies, Volume 9, pages 12 and 13. And then the early time of trouble starts, and our saints are praying fervently for Christ's arrival. When is that going to happen? We don't know, but that's next. And then now I'm going to show you all the things that are going to happen next real quick, and then Mondo's got something he wants to share. But the counterfeit second coming, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 12 talks about that. That'll happen after the early time of trouble. Then you got a law that prevents buying and selling. That's Revelation 13, 17. Then you got the children of God are being sealed, Revelation 7, verses 2 and 3. In other words, we are being sealed in the foreheads by God because we're keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. But at the same time, the wicked are being marked by Satan, Revelation 13, 16. All right. Many martyrs are starting to die in Revelation 20, verse 4. Satan performs many miracles according to Jesus himself in Matthew 24, 24. Again, we don't know when these dates are. We just know what's going to happen next. We don't know the date. Am I reading this? No. This is, well, I'm reading off my chart, but I'm throwing a lot of my own comments in there. Like I said, there's a chart on my website in the prophecy section called the prophetic timeline. All right, the four angels start to withdraw, then the calamities start to occur globally. This is all during the early time of trouble, which started when, we don't know, which will end when Jacob's trouble starts, that Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 talks about, and of course, the plagues that Revelation 16 talks about, verses 1 to 21. But the death decree is put forth when we don't know. That's after the calamities start to occur globally, and then martyrdom stops. Revelation 13, 15 says the death decree is put forth, but then that's when the martyrdoms will end. You investigate that through the book of Esther, because what they choose for us is going to be their just desserts. They choose death, and instead they'll get death, just like Haman got death instead of Mordecai and the rest of the Jews. But and if you're alive at that time and you're walking with Christ and you are a true Christian, you will never die. When does this happen? We don't know. But this is when the plagues begin. Probation's over for humans. And this is the Revelation 16 thing, and this is the time of Jacob's trouble too. It's all happening at one time. The martyrdom stops because the death decree was put forth. In other words, whoever doesn't go to church on Sundays or acknowledge Sunday as a Sabbath, or as the prophecy says, gets the mark of the beast. See, they're not going to say, come up and get the mark of the beast. They're going to say, acknowledge Rome, the Roman mandate, acknowledge Sunday as Sabbath, because we got to stop all these calamities that are happening around the world. We're figuring it. It's just like that one preacher. He did a small herald of this prophecy when on December 26, 2004, I believe it was, when that so-called tsunami, when it was actually a manufactured tsunami because nature fought back 3 months later and had another earthquake in the exact same area, the same magnitude, and there was no tsunami. So, and then you put two and two together when you realize how all the people that are watching the seismic graphs usually never take a day off, ever, but they somehow gave them all the day off, the weekend off for Christmas, which never happened before, and then some strange tsunami hits all of a sudden, which means they didn't want them watching the seismometers, or the seismographs, or whatever you call them, because if they did, they would realize it's not an earthquake. An earthquake will rumble in and rumble out. This was a nuclear blast underwater. It'll just spike real quick, and that's why the water was hot when it came in at that tsunami. But the preacher comes out and he says the reason for the tsunami is because people are not going to church on Sundays. And so that's kind of like a mini herald of what they're going to do. That's the death decree. If you don't acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath, first they'll say you can't buy and sell, then they'll say you'll have to die. And that's all going to happen at the same time. Is then the martyrdoms will stop. The guillotines will never get wet again with the blood of real Christians. They might do some fake martyrdoms, but that's about it. The plagues will begin. So there you have it. You got four or five things. Death decree, martyrdom stops, all the world has heard the gospel, probation ends for all the world, and the plagues begin. All that happens on one day, I guess. And the time of Jacob's trouble starts, but that's the plagues, okay? So there are six things. And then the next thing that happened after that would be, of course, Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Jesus Christ returns. And then, or Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus Christ returns. And then Satan is bound for 1,000 years on earth with no one to tempt. Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3, or Isaiah 24, verses 1 and 3, or Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 33. And then we, the saints, judge the world and the angels. That's what 1 Corinthians says in chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, or Revelation 20, verse 4. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, or no, just before the 1,000 years ends, the wicked are raised at Revelation 20, verse 5, and Satan is set free in Revelation 20, verse 7. He acts like he resurrected them, and he acts like he's their best friend, and he acts like that city that's descending from above is the enemy, and they got to surround it and destroy it, because at the end of the 1,000 years, New Jerusalem comes to the earth, Revelation 21, verse 2. All the wicked are destroyed, Revelation 20, verse 9. And then that's it. Earth is made brand new, Revelation 21, verse 1. And then earth will then be the home of the Almighty Godhead, his children will be about him, and heaven will be on planet Earth then. That's when heaven comes, on Earth. It steps out of the constellation of Orion, and then puts the Lord puts the kingdom in the valleys of Megiddo and splits those mountains and flattens a mountain, and that 375-mile square city just lands right there. And then, because this Earth is, according to modern-day science, the center of the universe anyway, and so when the city of heaven sits on this Earth, we will not only be with our mansions in the city, we'll be able to step out of the city and have, and build our own homes on the world, and Isaiah speaks about that. So. So there's a lot of stuff to happen next, but before it gets really hot and hairy, I guess, what's going to happen next? You've got, and I believe this has already happened. That's why you got that shaking that's been going on. Like the apostles, the Christians will be in one accord, like in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. And because we're in one accord, you'll start seeing Satan will try to counteract it by causing global calamities, okay? And that's, you know, then you see the Twin Towers go down and then the Katrina thing and, you know, whatever else is going to happen next, you know? And then the early time of trouble, and that's when we start praying fervently, and then Satan starts his counterfeit, his counterfeit second coming. Then the law to prevent buying and selling, and then we start getting sealed because we're not going along with them, and then some martyrs are being killed. Satan starts doing his miracles. The calamities start going global. The death decree, and then that's it. That's when it really hits the fan. But that's when, like I said, if you are a real Christian and you're alive when the plagues begin, you're guaranteed never to die. Because the Bible does say the plagues will fall within one day in prophecy. Ezekiel 4:6 prophecies a day. You know, a day equals a year in prophecy. So hold on, let me just check something here. When will the false Messiah appear? When will the false, when Satan acts like Jesus? Right before the law to prevent buying and selling. You know, there's all sorts of, like people with you know, thoughts in mind as to how it's going to go down. Like he's going to come on the earth and he's going to stand next to the Pope and he's going to whisper some stuff into the Pope's ears. He's going to tell the people they got to do this, they got to do that, and the Pope's going to relate the messages to the world or whatever. And then, you know, re-explaining the Gospels and, you know, twisting them up. And then, of course, I wouldn't doubt that he does this. I can't verify this, validate it. But I can't validate it, but I wouldn't put it past Satan to resurrect, act like he's he's going to act like he's Jesus, then he's going to resurrect Peter, Paul. He might even call down Elijah from heaven, even Moses too, and start acting like letting them speak and saying, and all they are is actually is just demons, and they're going to tell the people, see, look, you guys misunderstood what I was talking about in Acts chapter 4 or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, they're going to start acting like they are the real McCoy and starting to re-preach the gospel. So I wouldn't put it, you know, past them. Do I think he's in power now? Well, of course. This is his domain. This is where, Nathan, I wouldn't doubt if he even resurrects Ellen White, you know? But especially her, because he's got to get those Sabbath keepers. But do I think he's in power now? Yes. He's got absolute complete control over Ratzinger. He's got absolute complete control over Bush, Tony Blair. Yeah, but he's got all these other guys. Maitreya, I look at him as like a testing ground or a toy, or a blue beam project kind of wannabe, and I don't see him as a big threat unless they decide to. You know what I see with that guy is, because he's already here, he's already shown up in closed rooms and waving his hand, and animals are showing up.
Lee, shut that door.
He's already, you know, showing up. Sorry about that. I had to tell her to shut the door. I mean, because Maitreya's already been showing up behind closed doors and waving his hand. All of a sudden, he's animals appear and food appears and all this other stuff. And all it really is holographic technology that came out back in the 50s, and we saw bits and pieces of it in the 70s, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. Why? Because the government found out, ooh, we got a new toy here. We can actually make it look like a person standing in front of you, and he's not really there. And so they're going to play with us, right? Because they already got it. We already know how it works. And I already came up with an idea of it back in the 70s when I was a punk, and because I used to get into all this technological junk, and I was thinking, says, okay, you can do these holographic images. You can shoot them on glass or mirrors or water droplets. So here was my idea when I was a teenager. Well, like, I never went to concerts, but I thought this was something you could do at a rock concert. You could have all the rock singers, the rock band, behind the stage where no one could see them, and all the cameras are pointing at them. Nobody's on stage. And then all of a sudden, they turn the cameras on, and they got all this water coming down on the stage in water droplets, like a fine mist, right? And it's going all over all the crowd, too. It's a hot summer day. It's, oh, we're going to help you out. It's a hot summer day. You're using like a nice mist over everybody, right? Just kind of into thinking it's a good idea. And then all of a sudden, the rock band walks out on stage, but they're not really walking out on stage. It's a holographic image of them walking out on stage, and they start jamming and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the lead singer, he starts growing, and he gets bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, he's 60 feet tall, and he starts walking through the crowd, stomping on people. That is plausible with the holographic technology today. And so with this blue beam project, you know, I'm not going to get into a big dissertation as to what that is. Just research it on the internet. You'll find out what blue beam's all about. But they can project holographic images from space. And what they could do, or they could just do it in a closed room without even doing it from space. And this is kind of what they could do with this Maitreya guy. For example, let's just say, for example, you're going to have Maitreya show up and have this meeting where all his worshipers are at. You know, because if you go to Pal Talk and all this other stuff, you see him in these Pal Talk rooms, and if you try to talk in rooms, he won't let you. It's got all these, you know, these, you're all muted. You have these red dots all over the place, right? And he's acting like, you can barely understand what he's talking about. The microphone is real crummy, and, you know, I used to go in there and try to, you know, expose him, but now you can't even talk in there, you know, or even can't text or anything. And so he's got followers. He's got a lot of followers. And so let's just say they have this big meeting, because they did this once. And all of a sudden he shows up at the meeting, but before he gets there, they got this roped off area where he's going to appear. So don't go there. I mean, come on. If you got a half an ounce of gray matter, why is it roped off? Well, could it be it's roped off because they already have a holographic projection there of a wall? You know, make it look like a wall in distance. You know, like a, not only a holographic projection, but like a perspective projection. You know, in other words, where it looks like the wall is 10 feet away when actually it's just a holographic projection 5 feet away that makes it look like it's 10 feet away. You know, you could do that today with these weird, a camera can do it today with, you know, how the guy walks up to the window and all of a sudden he's 10 foot tall. It looks like it's just the way the room is shaped. They can do it that way with holographic projections as well, right? So they got the area roped off. They got a fake wall, because behind that fake wall is all the food. Because how else can you explain it? All of a sudden he waves his arm and the food appears and the people can actually eat it, because you can't eat a hologram, right? You can't feel a hologram. Okay, we haven't gotten the Star Trek technology yet where they can put little miniature force fields inside holograms. Can't be done. So they put the fake wall up first, and then they got all this food and stuff and the animal and livestock behind it, so the people can't see it. And then all of a sudden, Maitreya just appears, right? He's all of a sudden standing in the room, and he waves his arm, and when he waves his arm, the fake wall disappears. And so, sure, that food's going to show up. And then they're going to walk up and eat it like it's real, because it is, you know? So what's to stop them from doing stuff like that, you know? And so, but Maitreya, what I'm thinking is, he's like, I'm always trying to figure out how they think these things up in advance. I don't know why I do that. I've been doing it since I was a kid. You know, why did they do that? Why did they want to do it in that way and stuff like that? And when I look at the European Union, for example, okay, look at the European Union and how you can go from state to state without a passport. You can go from bank to bank, from country to country without changing your money, okay? And I'm thinking, why are they doing it? Well, look at the prophecies. There's going to be a one-world government. They got to test it out somewhere and try it out on the people and see how if it goes well. So they make a United States of Europe like a United States of America, right? So they're testing it out, and it all works well. Well, Antichrist is going to come here, and he's going to want to make sure that everything's all the, you know, nooks and crannies or whatever. They're going to test that out, too. So isn't Maitreya just like a miniaturization of Antichrist? I mean, he's got to get the people at a certain mindset, and the devil will use any tool necessary. And just like the Lord can use 12 apostles to preach globally, I mean, look at 2,000 years later. There's a lot of Christians, okay? The devil can do the same thing. I don't know how old Maitreya is, but he's got some gray in his beard, a little bit of gray in his hair, so he looks like he's maybe his... Well, if he's into all the disgusting, you know, things that the mold, you know, that type of people are with the meat eating and all that other stuff, maybe he's just in his late 40s. You know, because I know people out in this area that are younger than me that look older than me because they eat meat and drink and smoke and stuff like that, you know. And so if Maitreya's, and I think he is because he's just in a, I mean, he's waving his arm and there's livestock there and he's got meat and stuff to eat, so the guy's aging prematurely like anybody else that would be meat eaters. And so he looks like he's in his, the last I saw him was like 5 years ago in a picture, and it was maybe 3 years ago, I would say. I don't really follow the guy because I'm going to concern myself with prophetic events that, scripturally speaking, I'm not going to, you know, it's just like I've always, you know, I don't go with the middleman. I try to avoid the middleman. I want to go right to the source, you know. Like when I had a job, I would never talk to the manager. I'd go to the owner, kind of a thing. Or when I call to complain about something, I don't want to talk to the manager. I want to talk to the owner or his supervisor or something like that. Because, you know, a lot of stuff loses stuff. You lose things in translation, you know. And so it's best to go to the source. And that's what I'm going to do with the prophecies. Like when I'm looking at anti-Christian movements, I focus on the Vatican. Now, I know the Vatican, you know, involved in the Muslims, in the Hindus, in Zoroastrian nuns, and Buddha. I mean, that's all one big happy family, you know. But the bulk of the satanic footprint, if you will, is, well, actually, three places on Earth. Well, two only, because the United Nations is in the United States of America now. But where the devil would sit most relaxed would be the Vatican. Where he does a lot of his work would be the United Nations. And where he pulls the trigger is, of course, Washington, D.C. So because of the power that, you know, the way things are going down. You say the Catholic Church has already come up with a card that tells they want your church or not in India or something like that. Yeah, there's something, a religious card, somewhere on my website. Yeah, there is. The Catholic Church already came up with a religious ID card, it was called, or a Catholic ID card. I can't remember what it was. I don't know if it was in India. I can't remember. I don't remember where exactly it was where I saw that. Let's see. I missed a couple of PMs here. Let me just go back a couple of PMs. Who do you think the Antichrist is, Nicholas? Well, it's Satan. Okay. But there's a lot of puppets of Antichrist. You got the Pope, you got Bush, you got Tony Blair, you got all the players in the big government, you got all the politicians. Those are all Antichrists. You know, they're all against Christianity. They're all trying to, you know, they're all pawns of the devil. They're puppets. But the actual Antichrist himself is Satan incarnate. When he places himself on earth, that'll be Satan himself. He wants worship. He's not going to fake it. He's not going to get a, you know, proxy. He's going to stand there himself when that day comes. Jesse asks, what about the fallen angels? Are they already here too? And will they be able to act as women impregnated? No, they never impregnated any women. The Nephilim did not see the sons of God in Scripture. If you do some research, the sons of God, then you got the sons of the world. The sons of God are like the Israelites. The sons of the world are Canaanites and stuff, people that weren't following God. You got, the angels could not give birth. You got Goliath and whatnot, you know, spin-offs from the flood of Noah, because before the flood of Noah, men were 16 feet tall, women were 14 feet tall. That's already been proven. I've got it on my creation page on the website. There's another one here. We have false Christs and false prophets now. When the Antichrist takes powers, it will not be obvious. It will not. Oh, yeah, it will be obvious. It will be obvious. Because he'll stand, it has to be obvious because he has to make a global announcement about his Sabbath. the day that he wants his worship. Okay? Okay. I thought that, how's Jack going to say, I don't know how old Maitreya is. Okay, these things are jumping up while I'm reading them. Hold on. Nicholas, did you say that the Catholic Church has already come? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that's the last one I read. And then Bonnie sent me a a Great Controversy, page 624, says this. The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him while he lifts up his hands and pronounces a blessing upon them. And this is, of course, obviously talking about, hold on. All right, yeah, it's talking about Antichrist. It says, The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him while he lifts up his hands and pronounces a blessing upon them. As Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth, his voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. He heals the diseases of the people, and then in the assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday and commands all to hallow the day which he has blessed. And then, if you don't, of course, you know, then there's going to be, just like it's always been, you've got the economic sanctions, and then you've got the war. Well, economic sanctions would be our end of it, would be we can't buy and sell, and then the war would be, of course, the death decree. Yeah. Yes. Just like in 1610, on the third offense, I've got a quote like that on my website, Mike, where it shows the first offense, they lose their allowance for a week. The second offense, they lose their allowance and are whipped. The third offense, they are killed for missing Sunday. And I'm sure they'll go door to door. This is one of the reasons. I mean, if you're living in a city, this kind of stuff ain't going to work unless you're in a city. This is why you got to get out. It'll eventually come to your door, but if you're out in the rural areas, you'll have plenty of warning to knowing in advance to get out of there. But like they did, I don't know if you all know about what went down with the catacombs in Roman days. The reason the catacombs had so many dead Christians in is because in Roman time, like in our day soon, because it's still the Roman Catholic Church, and the popes, I've got a quote from one of the popes saying, the Caesar that stands before you in whom fidelity and worship are due, or something like that, I can't remember the exact quote, but he does call himself Caesar. Caesars believe that they were God and man. Just like the Pope. I've got dozens of quotes where the Pope calls himself another Christ on earth, or Lord God the Pope, or the Vicegerent, or replacement of Christ. So they claim to be Jesus Christ incarnate, right? Or hidden under the veil of the flesh. Jesus Christ incarnate, that's what they say. And so, like in Roman times, you had to acknowledge the Roman Emperor, Caesar, as God. And if you didn't, they would kill you. And so what they would do is they would go door to door, and, you know, if you already agreed, well, no problem, they would go to the next door. And they would carry along with them, the Roman soldiers, they would carry along with them a little cart, and on the cart was a bust of Caesar, you know, just from the shoulders up. And if you weren't one that signed the Roman mandate or whatever that says that you did agree that Caesar was a god, then they would come to your house and they would ask you. And if you're a Christian, of course you're going to say no. They'll say, well, if you say no, we're going to kill the father and take the family into slavery, you know, the wife and children into slavery. And so sometimes they would be forced into bowing in front of the statue and acknowledging it as God, and then, of course, you know, their lives would be spared. But some of them wouldn't do it, so what they do is they would kill the dad right in front of the family, and then they would take the family into slavery. So that's why the Christians started going into the catacombs, to get away from that, to hide. And the same thing will happen in our day. This is one of the reasons the people will be going into the hills or the caves or the woods or whatever, okay? And this is why you have to get out of the cities, because you'll have plenty of warning. When you see the martial law happening in the cities, okay, you'll have plenty of warning, you know? Yes. Michael, the Seventh-day Adventist Church will eventually stop having service on Saturdays. The reason I say that is there's, I got two evidences to support that fact. Number one, they've already started it. I've got a page on my sdaapostasy.org page website, which is, I'll go there right now and I'll put it in the .org. Okay, for those of you on the radio, Michael and Kelly in San Diego ask, will the Seventh-day Adventist Church eventually stop having services on Saturday? And yes, they will, because they've already started it right here. There's a page on my website, my SDA apostasy site, and I'm going to put it in the room right now. For those of you on the radio, you can't see. Just go to sdaapostasy.org and go to the page that says FDA churches on Sunday or something. I think that is where it says. Let me just see the menu. FDA churches and Sunday. That's the menu item. And right there in the room, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 articles proving what I just said. And one of them, I think it's like fifth one from the bottom, is a list of 15 churches that are doing it already. That already been listed. Let me just see where it's popping up here. It's, for some reason, it's not popping up. It's Article 48. But yeah, well, when you get a chance, go to this page. You'll see Article 48. It's got a list of 15 separate churches that are doing it. So that's one of the reasons. Looks like the server's down on that Article 48. I don't know why that's down. I'll fix it when I get a chance. Let me just send an email to myself so I make sure I fix that along with that. Apostasy, hold on. Okay, that page is missing. All right, and then I got to also fix. Typing too fast. Gotta fix meeting the devil page too. Just a bunch of typos. All right. So that's one toss of the coin that they are going to be keeping, because they're already doing it now. There was a church in Las Vegas that did it for a whole year, and the reason was is to bring the people in so they could preach their message to them. Isn't that the same reason the Vatican used to get the people into their churches, to get the pagans in? We'll start going to church on Sundays, because everybody kept Sabbath holy for 300 some odd years after Christ ascended. I know the Catholic Church doesn't been keeping Sunday holy since they formed when Peter was alive, but that's just a bold-faced lie. The Catholic Church wasn't even around as a church and state until 538 AD anyway. And I've already got document evidence on the website that everybody, all Christians, kept the seventh day holy. The reason the Catholic Church changed it is because, that's a Jewish thing. Even though the Sabbath was instituted 2,500 years before a Jew was ever even born. They're just filled with lies. But the second toss of the coin, the first is, of course, we got 12 articles and 15 churches. So you do the math. It's almost 30 churches already that are keeping Sunday holy that call themselves Seventh-day Adventists. But the other toss is Adventist Review and the Seventh-day Adventist Church itself, their website says to stop using the title Seventh-day Adventist. Call yourselves Adventists now. That's what they're doing. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has told the people to drop the name Seventh Day. They did that a couple years ago. Now, what their reasoning is I don't know, because they even sued Rafael Perez out there in Florida for using the name Seventh-day Adventist, and now they're saying don't use the name Seventh-day Adventist, even though they won the lawsuit. So I don't know. Good night, Lanky. God bless. See you soon. Well, see you tomorrow. Take care. Okay. Is it so that we will finally be talking about the 107? Yeah, definitely, Michael. That's tomorrow's sermon. Part one of I don't know how many parts. Okay, it's part one. I finally, started really getting into the study on it. I mean, I remember we were talking about this months ago. I got a guy that also wants me to send him an email when I did it. When I did the, where is it? some guy named Kent wants the study when I'm done with it. So I'll just send him an email letting him know that I'm going to be preaching, starting it. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll do that tonight. Yeah, I'll have him come tomorrow to church. So, but yeah, that's what I'm doing tomorrow. It could be three or four parts. It could be one or two. It's going to be at least two parts. I know that much because the first part is more or less introduction into the truth in regards to what the Bible says about whether it's a literal number or a symbolic number, whether it's the same group of people all together in one big bunch, or are there separate groups in heaven, in that. And some of you may be shocked to find out what the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy confirm regarding whether it's literal or not. And I'm not going to say that until tomorrow. That way you got to come to church. But right, now let's see. Michael asks, isn't the death decree enforced after the plagues begin? And the world blames the Sabbath-keeping Christians for the onslaught of plagues because they don't keep Sunday? No, the calamities. The plagues begin because they put a death decree on us. In other words, you think it's bad now, you go and try to kill the Christian, it's going to get 100 times worse. You know, but no, the plagues come as a result of them trying to kill us. I've got a little blurb on my site. And let me just see if I got it in my menu here. Oh, I took the menu out of here. I shouldn't have done that. On my Sabbath Attack page, I think Sister White goes into a little bit of detail about, here, let me do it on this. I'm not going to do it here. She goes into a little bit of detail as to the order of events. And I put that quote on my Sabbath Attack page. It's called Attacking Sabbath page. It's in the warning section, about five or six clicks down. And this is what she says. This is the order of events that will lead to national Sunday laws. Well, I don't know if she goes right into the plagues here or not, but let's find out, okay? Because I can't remember exactly everything she said here. Okay. Well, I need to get going as we have to have worship to bring in the Sabbath. Okay, take care, Upward. God bless. All right. She says this, and this is from Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 424 to 425. It says, the sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of the union of church and state, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands have never listened to words like these in amazement. They hear the testimony that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. The people go to their former teachers with the eager inquiry, are these things so? The ministers present fables, prophesy smooth things to soothe their fears, and quiet the awakened conscience. But many refuse to be satisfied with the mere authority of men and demand a plain, thus saith the Lord. The popular ministry, like the Pharisees of old, are filled with anger as their authority is questioned. They denounce the message as of Satan and stir up the sin-loving multitudes to revile and persecute those who proclaim it. In other words, because we're preaching truth, this is what brings troubles on us. Okay? Continuing, it says, as the controversy extends into new fields and the minds of the people are called to God's downtrodden law, Satan is astir. The power attending the message only maddens those who oppose it. The clergy put forth almost superhuman efforts to shut away the light, lest it should shine upon their flocks. By every means at their command, they endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, like in 1610, remember? The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists are solicited to come to the help of the Protestants. The movement for Sunday enforcement becomes more bold and decided. The law is invoked against commandment keepers. And then she goes, this is from Great Controversy, page 624. And my little comment is, how will Satan convince the powers that be to move on us? This is what she says. She goes, in different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation. And of course, that's Revelation chapter 1. The glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. The shout of triumph rings out upon the air. Christ has come! Christ has come! The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him. While he lifts up his hands and pronounces, this is what we read earlier, and pronounces a blessing upon them as Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth, his voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths that the Savior uttered. He healed the diseases of the people, and then, in his assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday and commands all the holiday which he has blessed. He declares that those who persist in keeping holy the seventh day are blaspheming his name by refusing to listen to his angels sent to them with light and truth. This is the strong, almost overmastering delusion, like the Samaritans who were deceived by Simon Magus. The multitudes, from the least to the greatest, give heed to these sorceries, saying, this is the great power of God, just like they did with Simon Magus, you know, like Caesar said about Simon Magus. And then finishing it up, this is Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 44. She goes, Satan will accuse God's people as the cause of the fearful convulsions of nature and strife and bloodshed among men which are destroying or desolating the earth. Okay, now, how do the plagues begin? Now, let me go to my, I think it's on my 1,000 years page. No, I think I gotta go to the plagues page. I don't think I got this listed on my. I might have it. Let me just check my timeline real quick. Thanks, buddy. Let me just see. Okay, the death decree. All right, yeah. So if you go to Revelation 13:15, it talks about the death decree. And directly after that, you see Revelation 16 talking about the plagues beginning. Well, the only way they're going to be able to get something as dramatic as the death decree, first they're going to have to put forth the buying and selling issue, but you've got to keep in mind, there's going to be a religious fervor on this planet like never seen before. Christ is here, they're going to say, right? And so they're going to have the authority, they're going to think, of Christ to be able to go forth and kill. See, this is why you get the TV and the billboards and the music and the drugs and anything else in life. And, of course, not reading the Bible, you know, the famine in the land, Amos 8 talks about. But the people's minds are so conditioned that they're not going to realize that Christ, just like with the Pharisees. The Pharisees thought that when Messiah came, he would end Roman rule. It would be like a big old war and just end Roman rule. So they thought he would use force just like they're thinking today. When Jesus gets here, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth, and he's going to, you know, end, you know, wars or whatever. And the thing is, they're going to be so blinded, that's that grand delusion, that they'll be allowed to believe a lie, the thing, the strong delusion that comes. It's so strong that they're going to come to a point where they're going to see no wrong in following the instructions of Jesus Christ himself, they think, to go forth and kill. I mean, think about it. Did they see anything wrong in Esther's day? I mean, come on, we're still humans. I don't care if it was 5,000 years ago. We're still humans. Did the people in the area think it was wrong that on a specific day of the year they're going to go forth and going to kill, you know, their next-door neighbors? Or look at even in when baby Jesus, they wanted to, you know, Herod went forth and tried to kill all the babies. Or look at the reasons that they killed Jesus Christ himself, or look at the reasons they killed Stephen, or any of the apostles for that matter. Hold on a second here, I just Damn, just messed something up on the other, on the radio. No, I didn't. Okay. This mouse cord is getting caught up in my feet. I gotta do something about that. I'll mess with it later. Tomorrow evening. But, you gotta understand, like, they're gonna get the people in such a mindset. I mean, plus, look at the way the movies are today. The, you know, the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up, or Worldwide Wrestling Federation. You know, with the blood all over the faces while they're fighting, or the bare knuckle fist fighting, the ultimate fighting contests now. And they're already doing stuff in the Roman Colosseums. I did a newsletter about this, and I even showed some of the pictures where they got a miniature Colosseum. It looks just like the Roman Colosseum. They've got, it's not really miniature. I mean, it's like a regular stadium today. And they got all these people in there watching them do these Roman Colosseum games with the chariots. And they even got a woman there in white robes chained up to these posts. She's about to be sacrificed to the lions. And there's a lion that looks real right next to her. It's a stuffed animal, but it looks real right next to her. And so they're conditioning the people. I mean, come on. You drive down the road and there's a car accident. Everybody slows down. They want to see blood and guts. Everybody wants to see the blood and guts in the movies. Everybody wants to see the blood and guts in the news. Everybody's getting so conditioned now that it's going to become commonplace, like in the Roman days when they were killing Christians for entertainment or using Christian bodies to light the Colosseums at night because a Christian can burn the 6 to 9 hours. Or a human will burn 6 to 9 hours and keep the light going. And so this is the mindset of the people. I mean, the grand majority of the people on the earth are going to be evil. The devil's going to be on planet Earth. All right? And the Holy Spirit, you know how the Holy Spirit is here to prevent Clinton from doing what he really wants to do. You know, he's only killed 86 people, but he wants to kill a lot more than that. You know, personally, I'm not talking about the probably hundreds of thousands he's killed in some weird wars, like that wag the dog situation. I thought was just so ridiculous. Rather than talk about Monica Lewinsky, he starts a war. You know, literally wag the dog. I mean, they even did a movie about that, about him. But anyway, this, and plus, all these people are going to actually believe it's Jesus Christ, and they are going to worship him. That's why Jesus said, don't go there. This is something that's extremely important. You've got to understand this. When Jesus said that they're going to say that he's here or there or in the inner rooms or in the deserts, and he said, don't go, he meant what he was saying. And the reason he said it is because I don't care if you're a Christian that's strong enough to walk on water, strong enough to raise the dead, strong enough even to heal the blind and have visions on a daily basis. I don't care how strong of a Christian you are. If you step out of the will of Jesus, you know, out of the will of the Father or Jesus or whatever, or the Holy Spirit, and you do something that he specifically says don't do, for one thing, you're in sin right there. Or and even if you didn't realize, he said, didn't understand it to any extent other than this. John, like I was saying earlier, is the favorite apostle of Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus raise people from the dead. He saw Jesus walk on water. He saw Jesus heal the blind. He saw Jesus ascend into heaven. He saw him raised from the dead. He saw everything. But yet, when John got into the presence of an angel in Revelation 19, what did he do? He fell down at the feet of that angel and worshipped it. The angel had to tell him to knock it off, of course, right? Because he was a good angel. But this fallen angel, Satan, wants you worship. When man gets into the presence of an angel, whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter. These angels, you know, are such an overwhelming display that man can't handle it. And so even if you're a water-walking Christian, curiosity, if you're going to deny Jesus' suggestion not to go there, well, then you're asking for it. So, yeah, you might want to move out to like on a farm or something, like get away from the cities, especially like LA, and I mean the smog and that stuff's got to be horrendous. They're in a valley or over there, aren't you? But anywho, I don't know if there's any more questions. Let's hold on. I may have inadvertently, yeah, that's what I did. I moved something down. That's all it is. I gotta get this mouse out of here. Put it over there for now. Or I should use a cordless. Well, I can't use a cordless mouse because it'll conflict. So anyway, is there any more questions or comments before we finish up? I don't think there are. But we should do a Bible study on the order of events, you know, because you got the death decree, Revelation 13, then you got the plagues. But, whatever you guys want to do it. I still have those, that whole stack of Bible studies that I used to do in Fire Talk years ago. The whole big stack. Yeah. Armageddon, that'd be a good one too. Good night, Robin Sharon. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Sabbath blessings to you. Get a copy of what, Stacy? Oh, of the Bible, you know, the studies I'm talking about now? No, oh, okay. Well, that's not going to be easy because they're not online or, well, they're not on my site or anything. I'm losing my voice. It's getting to be that time. I'm going to sign off here on this, on the recording here. Hold on. And then it'll just go back to the regular radio broadcast when, I put it on the air, that is. I probably have to edit a lot of this stuff out. You know, just, that's one of the things, one of the problems we'll be putting on these live gatherings that we do, because a lot of the stuff that I'm my mouth's messed up and I'm talking about stuff like that. I don't know, people want, you know, they're not going to want to hear stuff like that on the air. So I got a lot of editing to do. So anyway, let me shut that down. Wrong computer.